Good morning. Good morning. It's me, Steve Sims, here with another episode of The Art of Making Things Happen, the podcast. I've got Martha Craigie with me today. Now, I've known this girl for a while, and for a start, she's just like a whole bubble of excitement and enthusiasm. But she gets stuff done, and she's got a great story on how she basically got aggravated at work and did something about it. And how many entrepreneurs produce magic by first starting off at a point of aggravation? Hers may upset you what she realized when she was sitting in the toilet. But anyway, I'm going to allow her to go into that story. So enjoy the episode. Learn from it. She's got a great freebie for you. It's not a giveaway, but it's a point of entry that's going to help you do more with your life. All right? Enjoy the episode with Martha Craigie. Hey, Martha. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You have a better accent and voice than me. All right. So people are going to realize over the next 30 minutes that we're dealing with a rock star here. And you know, I hate waiting until the end. So if you want to find out more about Martha, that's easy because she's made it easy. Her website is withmartha.com. How easy is that? But you are a specialist, a giant, a rock star in home-based businesses. How long have you been doing that?
Oh man, I've been working in I've been simultaneously working in home-based business, but then also coaching corporations and CEOs at the same time. But I've been doing that since like 2016 has been where I really hit it heavy. And so, yeah, so about 5 years as we're recording right now.
I know the story, but why? Why did you suddenly decide that the desk in the office wasn't where you were built to be?
Oh, my word. Well, there was a day, first of all, I already was starting to feel that way. So I was the person who every morning I would wake up, I'd hit my alarm like an obscene amount of times, like 10 to 20 times I would hit the alarm. Like, come on, Martha, really? Like I would set the alarm back so long that I would be able to hit it 10 or 20 times and still make it to work on time. But every morning I would wake up and I would think, okay, do I have any sick time I can use today? Listen, if you're in that place, like you need to get out, right? But I felt like I had to stay there because I had bills to pay. I had my, we just bought a new expensive house and my family lived there. And then we invited my husband's parents to live there because his dad just lost his job and a 70-year-old doesn't go get a new job. So what we did is like, we brought them in. So basically I was holding down the fort for two families. And so I didn't really have the luxury of saying, nah, I don't want to anymore. I had to. And so I would wake up in the morning and just think, do I have sick time? And of course I didn't, because every time I would have a half hour drop, I'd use it because I didn't want to be there. Well, one day I was just, you know, taking a break in a stall, stalling to go back to work, right? I was scrolling like everybody does when you're just like, I don't want to be here right now. And as I was scrolling, I was seeing everybody else kind of living their lives and like, hey, I'm doing this today. And I'm like, oh, I don't even want to deal with this, right? As I'm going through that, a video comes through and it's my husband sending me a video. And I'm like, what is he doing? It's not typical for him to do that at all, let alone while I was at work. And the thumbnail of the video was my daughter on her feet, which had not happened before. And I was like, oh my gosh, I tap on the video to watch it. And no joke, Nora, my daughter, was taking her first wobbly, stompy steps, her first steps. Like I was seeing it. It was such like a bittersweet experience because I was like, it's my girl. She's walking, right? And then like quickly reality just like smacked me in the face. And I realized, my gosh, I'm not there. I'm not like, she's not walking to me. She's walking to a phone, right? Like she's walking to daddy and I'm so glad she's walking to daddy, but gosh, I should be there to hug her while she's doing this. And in that very moment, I felt like, you know how sometimes they say like right before you die, your whole life passes before your eyes. Well, at that point, her whole life passed in front of my eyes. And I was like, I'm missing things. This is like a microcosm. I'm going to be missing this stuff over and over and over again unless I make a change. And so at that point, I was like, I'm quitting my job.
And did you quit straight away?
I did. I went home. I put my purse down and my keys down on the counter. I looked at Mike, my husband, and I said, I'm going to quit my job. And I was fully braced for an argument. You know how you drive home and you're like, here's what I'm going to say. And here's what he's going to say. And here's what I'm going to say. And I had it all planned out, except what he said was different than what I practiced. And what he said was, if you don't do this, you're doing not only yourself, but everybody around you a disservice. And if anybody knows Mike, that is not like him, because typically he's like the, but what about insurance? But what about this? But what about this? But what about this? Because we had no other income for two families and we just got like a huge mortgage. And so whenever he said that, I was like, man, this is something I have to do, because those aren't normal words coming out of his face right now. And so like, that is different. And so I did. I quit my job. And then the rest is, as they say, history.
So you focus very heavily on something that you promote called HBR and mm-hmm. the home-based revolution. And yeah. you did it before COVID. So a lot of people have had to pivot during COVID. I've been on a couple of your webinars, and your crowd, your tribe mm-hmm. is a very strong community of non-settlers. That have wanted to be in the right room, in the right group. But how do you go home and go, right, I'm going to quit? And how do you go, right, I'm going to go online, or I'm going to be part of the home-based revolution? That's a scary moment. And you've already said you had a ton of obligations. You had every reason to go, well, I can't do it at the moment because of my dad, because of my kids, because of my husband. You know, now Norval's walking. You had every reason bar one. And the one was, I shouldn't be doing this. And you followed that. What were the first steps you took in order to be able to build up your ability to look after all those other obligations from your sofa?
I love that you asked this, because this is important for everybody to hear. And I really like that you asked the question. What I did originally was I started doing something I could double down on, that I knew that I was really good at, and I niched in. I was lucky to have accidentally made an incredible choice in my business by niching down very, very specifically right out of the gate. And so what I did was I niched down to SEO. So when I first started out, I'm like, I have a weird cellular understanding of SEO. Like, I know changes that happen in Google's algorithm before Google even announces the changes. Like, it's really weird. I'll just kind of see. And so I started an SEO company. Basically, it was a digital marketing company, but we focused on SEO. And so the very first thing that I did was, well, bar the fact that I got a desk. I felt like I needed a desk to have a business. I don't know why. I had a desk that I had to put together. So it's really good that I wasn't a carpenter, because the drawer was backwards. Like, one of the things was upside down. It wasn't a great desk. But anyway, so I got a desk. And then what I really started doing that mattered was I joined my local chamber of commerce. I would have never done that before in life. But I joined the local chamber of commerce, and I really just put my tile out, you know, and I started doing trainings at the chamber of commerce, because none of them knew what I knew. And I was like, well, I'll just do some trainings and help y'all out. Well, as I was doing trainings, I would pick up five new customers at a training. And that immediately, within the first month of my business, I was making the same amount of money that I was making at that job that I was just sucking my soul dry to even be there, but I was home.
I want to go back to the desk. Isn't it?
wouldn't you?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how many of us actually look for that crutch?
Mm-hmm.
I remember people saying, well, you're not a successful business until you're employing 30 people. And I remember when I had a business, when my older business, we ended up with like about 50 people, and people were going, oh, you know, you got 50 people, you must be successful. I had 50 headaches. But we were living at other people's ideas of what a successful business looked like, and the crutches and the things that came along with it. You straight away had to get a desk. Now I know you're very structured now, but you know full well you can operate your business anywhere in the planet, as long as you can put it on your lap, you're in business.
Yep.
But how do we break that circle, that trough that we get into of, well, I need this, I need this, I need this, which, as we always say before, are the monsters we don't.
Yes. I think there needs to be enough of us that have been through it, that have kicked that stupid narrative in the teeth, that are just, that are talking about it. I also did another mistake. Let's talk about it. I got an office because those people told me I needed to have an office for clients to be able to meet me at. And so I got an office, and that was $1,500 overhead every month that I didn't have to pay. You know, like, I didn't need the office. It didn't bring in business. It didn't, it just was a place for all of us to sit where, quite frankly, that added or really took away another hour of my day, because now I had to drive to this place that wasn't my house. And then I had to drive back, and then I had to, like, where am I going to eat lunch at this place that isn't my house? Like, it just was, it was so dumb. And then whenever I released all of everybody else's expectations of what business should be, first of all, it's a perceived expectation. We believe people are saying that. Sometimes people legit do say it to you, but a lot of it is kind of in our head, and it's an assumed narrative. Like, you've seen it, and so you just take it on yourself, and you're like, this is what I have to do to pretend to be this business person today, right? Well, just be a business person and just be amazing at what you do. And who gives a rip if you're doing your business off your couch cushion, you know? And that's where we're at now. We have people paying us a ridiculous amount of money, and I work from my office or my dining room table, or sometimes it's the couch. And sometimes I have Real Housewives of somewhere or other on TV while I'm doing my work. Who gives a rip? When you're amazing at what you do, you can do it wherever you want to do it. But I think it's, to answer your question, I think it's going to take people like us that have said, you know what, that's actually really stupid, and it doesn't serve me, and it doesn't fit me and my personality. So because of that, I'm going to go ahead and nix it.
Now, I like to bounce around. You said straight away, the first thing you do was you niche down onto the SEO, and then you joined the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. What did you join after that?
Ooh, after the Chamber of Commerce, I joined a networking group. So, I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the national ones. I can't remember. There's letters, you know, there were letters involved. But I joined a networking group, which was kind of like me. It was okay. I got clients there, but it was weird. Like, the reason it was weird was because everybody was there to pitch their business. Like, you go around in a circle and you pitch your business, and then everybody passes around cards and stuff. And it's kind of just this weird scenario. I don't know. I would rather be in a group of people, right? So, like, at the speakeasy in San Diego, right? I would rather be in a group of people and just talking about, like, what matters to them, what excites them, what business they're in. If I hear something that makes sense, then I'll go ahead and mention it. But to stand up and talk about, like, what I do and here's why you would send somebody to me feels weird and falls flat, because it doesn't feel as like I haven't built a relationship. That's it. I like to build a relationship with somebody. And so, but that was the second thing that I joined. And it was one of my clients that I got from the Chamber of Commerce that invited me into that group.
Now, that was a leading question. I'm sure you know most of mine are going to be leading questions in any case, because we know each other.
Yeah.
But I've noticed something very much about you. You are quick to act. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you did was, when you left your business, was to jump into a room, to jump into a room that you thought at the time, and we've all been here, we've jumped into a room and you've gone, oh my God, I'm in a room full of really, really successful people. And then there's me. And you've got this kind of like self-doubt of like, how the hell did they let me in? Till 6 months later, you realize you're actually the rock star of the room and you're in the wrong room. But you moved on and you went to another room. And I know for a fact, since we've been working together, you constantly change and upgrade. How important is it for you to actually change the room you're in when you're making these changes in your life?
Oh my gosh. It's the most important. It's the people that you surround yourself with. I mean, it was Jim Rohn, I believe, that said it, right? You are the average of the five people that you spend the most time around. It's also, it's not just that you're an average of them. It's that I want to be the least influential person in the room that I'm in. Because here's what happens is, if you stay in a room too long, you become the big fish. And some people hang their hat on being a big fish and they're like, well, I've got so much sway. Who gives a rip? How's your business doing? Right? That's what we need to do, is we need to make sure that we're like the smallest fish in the room. So we have to constantly be updating the rooms that we're in, because we grow, you know, to the size of the room that we're in, and the people and the personalities and the skill sets and everything. If you're truly gleaning from every relationship that you have, it was, I can't remember who the author was, but it's one of my favorite quotes, and ironic, I can't remember who said it, but it's, I am a sum of all that I have met. I am basically everybody that I have met is now a piece of me. And so what room do you want to be in where they are all basically pieces of them are now pieces of you, right? Because that's what you really need to be thinking about. So I'm constantly, I'll room jump. I'll pop into different rooms, pop out. If I really like it, I'm going to stay in it, but I'm also going to join another room as well. Like, I'm going to make sure that I am, you know, moving around with individuals that are really making a difference in the world in interesting ways.
So you upgrade your room, you upgrade your standards, you upgrade your expectations by doing so. Did you expect that people would be looking at you as the room that they wanted to be in? Now I know you're a very powerful person. You're a very focused person. You're not going to do anything unless it moves the needle and benefits other people. I know you are extremely giving in those elements. I've met your tribe, so I know it firsthand. But did you ever think that you would be the source of people going, I need to be in Martha's room?
I really didn't. And I love hearing that now, but I really never did. I was always so focused on being able to increase my own skill set to help other people. I was so like horse with blinders on with that I wasn't even thinking, I wasn't doing it so that other people would want to be in my room. And maybe that's part of the success formula there, is I wasn't doing it for that reason. But to even have that happen right now is, it's an extreme blessing. It's one of those things that just like melts my heart.
I'd have been stunned if you'd have said something different. I know you, and you look, you're very athletic, you work out, you're very fitness orientated, you're very health. So again, as I said, you don't move without kind of like, okay, where's the needle going on this? So you don't move by accident. Right. But I've noticed with you, you really focus on the impact. You really focus on the work. You really focus on the growth rather than the arrogance of going, well, I wanted to create a room. You focus on them. Yeah. And the byproduct has been that they help you become where you are. Yeah. You're constantly upgrading and changing everything from your websites, from your Instagrams, from your socials, your businesses. You're doing a revamp on HBR as well now. So if it was working, like the old saying, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Why are you changing things all the time? Is there something wrong with you?
It depends on who you ask, I think. But but the reason that I keep changing things is because, or updating and making them better, is because my sole focus, like my North Star, is my people's success. My people are me back in the day when I was stuck at the 9-to-5 job and I was missing Nora's first step. And so my people, there are more and more of my people coming out of the woodwork these days, you know, as time goes on, more and more of those people exist. And they're wanting to be able to work from home. They're wanting to be able to keep their family together. And so I can't ever just say that's good enough, because I need to always be able to be working on compressing time for them. And so when I update things, I'm compressing more time. Let's get you to your results faster and faster and faster. And so as I think of things, I'm like, we're adding that. And then if it's going to get them to their goal faster, I'm adding it.
Now I'm going to compare you, and you may like this, you may want to soundbite this, but I'm going to compare you to Elon Musk. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, there you go. Shoot for the stars and get one. Elon always said that he was peed off why banks always took 5 days to transfer money that wasn't physical money, it was nothing more than code, from one bank account to another domestic bank account. Mm-hmm. Could never understand why it took 5 days. His aggravation enabled him to create PayPal. Your aggravation of sitting in that store watching Nora take her first steps created the aggravation for you to create something that you could work from home and to create the life you did. So as entrepreneurs, we answer the problems that we have and then look for other people that could do with this as a solution and then sell it to them. Because I'm a great believer, if people don't pay, they don't pay attention.
Yep.
But you had no idea when you were sitting at that desk getting ready to have an argument with Mike that it would be a, okay, babe, let's go. Once he said that, did you kind of go, oh, God, what do we do? Apart from, like, let's get a shanky old desk, did you have any kind of doubt, withdrawals? Have I done the right thing? Because let's be serious. No one makes $1 million in the first day when they try something, because right. That's where all the growth comes from. So there had to be times in the early stages where you kind of, like, scratched your head and going, did I do the right thing here?
Yeah. There was an extremely frustrating time. Like when I was doing the Chamber of Commerce, that was okay because it was local and stuff, but my brain always goes bigger than that. And I was already looking at global from day one. And so I was thinking like, I need to get out onto the internet. I need to really be able to get my name out online. And so then I started researching how to do that. Do me a favor. Don't Google that. That's a mess. I paid for a lot of programs that were just bunk, that were people regurgitating other people's information, and the source information wasn't even good. Like it just was so bad across the board that I started to get frustrated because I was like, how do these people actually do this? Because I see that it must be working. I see that there must be some sort of way to be able to do this, but nobody's legitimately giving the do this, do that, wash, rinse, repeat sort of system for it. And that's where I was beyond frustrated. Like I was so tired of dudes sitting on Ferraris, man. Like I just, would you get off the Ferrari? I don't even give a rip, you know, just stop selling this garbage. I was starting to want to just like send letters to the editor, you know, but eventually, I mean, that's where HBR came from, was that frustration that out there in the marketplace, you really don't know how to do what to do. And then, so whenever I hit it, whenever I was like, you know, actually making a lot of money, then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to turn around and show people how to do this because it doesn't exist. Nobody's pulling back the curtain on this thing. A lot of people don't even know how to do it. You'll see so many people at like different events and stuff like that, that are like digital marketers, or they have courses on, you know, all sorts of online marketing things. And you look at what they're doing and it's really, they don't really even know how to do it themselves in an organic way. So I do it without ads. So you don't even see, they don't even know how to do it. So to be able to teach people, that's where I'm just reaching back in the fire of where I was at. That was my whole point.
So buddy of mine, Mark Victor Hansen, a lot of people don't know who he is, but he was the co-author with Canfield on A Chicken Soup for the Soul. I remember chatting with him, and he was actually at the speakeasy in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he said that they never went out to write a book. They went out to write a franchise. And they actually thought, and they were one of the first groups ever to go, okay, how can we take this, you know, into t-shirts, apparel, board games, series? You know, how can we take this far? Before they started, they had a title, but they built a franchise, not built a book. Now, I like the fact that you said, hey, I'm going global, you know, and you didn't even have an office. You know, you had, as you've already said, a shanky desk. So you straight away went for the bigger goal. And I think that's important. I think people need to go for something that's stupid. Go for that. And if you fall short of it, you're still a millennium away from where you were. Now, you're constantly changing. You're constantly trying to grow. You're constantly trying other things. You're constantly failing and getting educated on it. A lot of people, and I won't be disrespectful enough here to call out names, but if anyone wants to DM me, I'll give you a whole bucket of them. There's so many people out there that are terrified to actually give you the answer. They will literally, and you said about Googling how to do an online business, that's the $49.99 courses, and the second you paid, that's when you get the autoresponder go, hey, if you really want to know, I'll tell you for the $99 course. And you get in there, and then you get upsold to the mastermind and to the, you know, your brains are frazzled by then. People don't like to give the information away. You're kind of backwards there, girl, because you flood it out and go, look, this is what you do. There's no upsell. This is it. You put this here, you put this there. Do you think that diminishes your strength by giving too much of the farm away?
Nope. I have a massive loyalty in my following, and it's because I serve them, and I serve them very well. And there are some people that are able to jump into my stuff right away, and there are some people that have to hang around for 6 or 7 months, and then they jump into my stuff. Here's the deal. They're hanging around for 6 to 7 months until they can jump into my stuff. And the reason why is because I will serve them where they are. Because I remember when I was sitting at my janky desk where I couldn't open the drawer because it was jammed shut. When I was sitting at that desk, I remember thinking, if somebody could just show me how to do X, Y, and Z, if somebody could just show me, at least I could get on the right path. And so that's what I do, is I show them how to be able to get started. There's actually something I haven't even told anybody about this yet. Like, my people don't even know. But what I'm getting ready to do in my free group is I'm getting ready to completely pull the curtain back on online courses, on making them, on selling them, on scaling them for free. I'm going to take people to their first 6 figures. And then when they want to jump into my stuff, they can jump into my stuff and be able to scale up. But I'm making sure that the moms and the dads and the people at home, the people that want to be with their family, they have every single thing that they need in order to do so.
So where's the free group?
Oh, the free group is 7 Figures from Home. On Facebook.
Ooh, there you go. So we've just given them something for free. Just given them something for free from someone that's actually proved what she does works. How many lazy asses do you think are out there that will never end up getting into that Facebook?
Oh, man. I hope that at some point, my deepest prayer for people is that they just... that the things can be illuminated to them of where they've mistrusted the grand narrative, that they're not actually better than they are, because there's people believe that they're not good enough. They believe that they can't do things that other people can do. They can maybe look at somebody like me and say, well, she has a big audience. Well, she didn't have a big audience before. True. Okay. Like there are things that can just become excuses, and they're lazy. They're lazy excuses. And I'm not saying the individual is lazy. I'm saying the excuse is lazy, but that is because that's what the world has told you to be. The world's told you that that's all you should be, all you can be. And the moment that you wake up to the fact that that was actually not for your agenda, but rather for theirs, the minute that you can actually understand that, then you can wake up and your entire world can change. So I'm praying for people to wake up to their own value so they can just take the bull by the horns.
We're in COVID. Well, I was going to say post-COVID, you know, whenever that bloody finishes. But it's altering the way we think, we act, we do. I'm wondering, with you always being, okay, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to focus on. Even if you hit a roadblock, you go, wow, shit, that didn't work. Let's try something different. Mm-hmm. We're going through a generational period where we're losing the ability to communicate. We've also gone through COVID where we are in a situation where we can't even touch and reach out to people. Are very frightened of touching now. The old shaking hands, giving a group hug, we're cautious about that. But we went through a society where we were suddenly giving out participation medals, that through COVID we're also receiving handouts. And there are a lot of people now refusing to go back to work because they make more money by just staying at home and getting the handout. So we're creating a lazy generation. Now, I'm guessing the people that you talk to, and again, I've spoken with your following. I've been very blessed to actually speak with your tribe and following. And I've woken up, and I did a 9 a.m. on a Sunday with your group. And you need to know for the record, I've never done anything at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning other than can I wait for the coffee pot to ding. But your crowd, and if it had been my first one, I wouldn't have done it. But your crowd was so eager, so leaning in.
Yeah.
Do you think COVID is actually creating more lazy people, or do you think people are getting aggravated enough that are actually searching for the room like yours?
Yeah, I don't see the lazy people. I imagine they exist, but I just don't see them in my world. The people that I see come in are hungry. They're hungry. They understand change is necessary, and they're open to what change looks like. So those are the people that I come into contact with. I imagine the lazy ones exist. That's always going to be a thing. But that, yeah, the people that I come into contact with, like you said, they lean in, they're hungry, they're ready, they're open to things not being the way they maybe thought they were, which is brilliant. That's all we need. That's all we need in order for some good change to happen in our world.
Now, you got a lot of changes going on with the whole HPR. We've already mentioned with Martha. How simpler, now I love simplicity and clarity, but how simpler is it that you could get a website than with Martha? You know, so if any of you out there going, I don't know where to find her, then please don't, because you'll be wasting her time. But how can people find out more of you? We're getting to the end of this, and I don't want people to kind of go, well, that's signing off, because we're not. Mm-hmm. Now's the fun stuff. How can people find out about you and your Instagram, which is so alive? Mm-hmm. It's like getting like a hit, your favorite hit in the morning when you go through your Instagram with the colors and the enthusiasm. Tell us your points of entry for Martha.
Yeah, it is Real Martha Krejci anywhere. So if you check, you know, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you obviously the website you already noted, thank you for that, is withmartha.com. But everything is Real Martha Krejci. And actually, you know what I think I did, Steve? I did realmarthakrejci.com and forwarded it to With Martha. I'm pretty sure I did that. I meant to do it, if anything. I don't know if it actually happened, but there's that as well. But yeah, Real Martha Krejci.
Now, you're a TV star as well.
Oh, my word.
tell us about that so we can get our popcorn ready.
Oh, man. Me too, right? So I'm on a reality show, which is so cool. Like, never in my life did I think I was going to say that. I'm 41 now, right? Reality show, I would imagine like in my 20s or something, but 41, I'm like, yeah, there's my first reality show. But it's called 4 Days to Save the World. And the entire concept is fantastic. Whenever they pitched it to me, I was like, I'm in yesterday, right? So the entire concept is that basically they created teams, and there's 10 adults and one kid, so a teenager on the team. And what we do is we handle different world problems as presented as problems by the UN. So think bullying, there's women's empowerment, there's a lot of the different things. Mine was reimagining the educational system. And for me, that was like, yes, I'm going to get down with this. So we created a sustainable business that reimagines the education system. It's going to be, you know, crowdfunded is the whole idea behind that. But we really went hard in the paint, and it's a very, very cool concept. And then also it's really built for kids too, or teenagers or young people. It's really built to show them how accessible the entrepreneurial life is for them, and how it can be impactful as well. So I was all over it. I'm excited to see it. It airs on Labor Day.
Where? What's the distribution channel?
It's going to be on Amazon Prime, and H2H is the app, the actual direct app, but it's on Roku and all of the things. But you just look up 4 Days to Save the World.
Perfect, perfect. All right, so I've got a funny idea there's going to be more stuff happening to you. You don't seem to me to be like a lazy girl. I remember when I was down with you in San Diego, you were like, Steve, I'll be in the gym at 5 o'clock if you want to join me. And that wasn't going to happen.
And it didn't to you. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, Martha, we've told them how they can get hold of you. We've told them how they can get you for free. Mm-hmm. Don't be dumb. Do something. Change the room you're in. But Martha, thank you very much for being so bright and cheery. And quite simply, thank you very much for being you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you, man.
Look after yourself. Bye for now. Well, I hope you enjoyed another episode of The Art of Making Things Happen with me, Steve Sims. And just imagine if you were in a room with these people, some of the listeners, some of the guests, some of my friends. Well, you can be if you attend a speakeasy. Just head on over to simsspeakeasy.com and you'll find out all about the details of our next event, location, city that we're in. And quite simply, they're there to make you smarter and more impactful. If that's the kind of thing you want to do, you know where to go. Simsspeakeasy.com. I'll see you there or speak with you soon on the next episode. Bye.